Sometimes we say things that we really didn't intend to say. Anybody besides me wish you did not hit send in that email? Anybody besides me text a message to the wrong person? I knew I wasn't the only one. It's like, no, that wasn't supposed to go to you. It's supposed to go to them. And we've all done that. Have you ever said something and you said, where did that come from? I mean, you know, I grew up where, you know, cussing was disallowed. I come from the generation where they washed your mouth out with soap. And that's not a pleasant experience. And so if you ever messed up and cussed, there was just no way. And I didn't know any cuss words, you know. So I grew up in church and I didn't know any cuss words. So I got mad at my brother one time. And the only cuss word I could think of is call him a chest of drawers. I guess I thought drawers was like underwear or something. I don't know. But I called him, you old chest of drawers. And my mom said, what did you say? I don't know. It's the worst thing I could think of as a kid. I was mad at my brother. So I called him a chest of drawers. And we said Chester drawers in our camp. So I didn't even say it right. But she understood. And we couldn't say gosh. Remember that? We couldn't say gee whiz. I mean, those were derivatives. And, you know, you could never say, oh, my, you know, gee, everybody, I still can't say that. But everybody says that all the time. And it's like we could just never say those kind of things. So every now and then I would find myself saying what I now call country words. You know, things you step in on the farm. I'm not going to explain it to you. It's just that I didn't think that was a legitimate cuss word, but I knew it was pretty nasty. And so, you know, all the farmers said it. So every now and then I'd catch myself saying that. And then I would go, oh, where did that come from? My dad was an old holiness preacher. He would say, if it wasn't in there, it wouldn't come out. Never believed a word of that, but that's what he told me. Have you ever said something and you said, where did that come from? Have you ever lost your cool over something silly and you ask yourself, where did that come from? So if you are a Christian, you got a good alibi. The devil made me do it. Oh yeah, let's just blame the devil and not take any responsibility at all. That's what Christians love to do, right? If we can blame the devil, then we don't have to change a thing. It was just him. He snuck up on me and I fell for it, you know. If the devil made me do it, then I don't have any responsibility in changing myself. We say things sometimes. So here's the problem. Because we say things, because we have these issues, because we have these heart issues, we end up in debt. I know you're probably thinking about money, but I'm going to talk about that. We end up in debt. There are debts in your life you have no ability to pay. Have you ever had a debt that kept you up at night because you felt like, I can't pay that back. There's just no way I can pay that back. I have no way. Well, there are emotional debts, and I promise you, every single person in this room has had an emotional debt that there was no way to repay. So it leaves you with only two choices. When you have debts that you cannot pay, it leaves you with either guilt or it leaves you with anger. See, here's the problem with that. There are two primary enemies of the heart. These are life-blocking agents lodged in your heart, poisoning your relationships, stifling your faith, and killing your character. And there are two emotions called guilt and anger. And every single person in the world has dealt with it. And both of these have to do with debt. Don't raise your hand, but just nod. Have you ever felt guilty? Are you feeling guilty now? Man, if I'd have just done that. If I'd have just paid more attention. Or how about anger? Now, I'm not talking about hot-tempered. If you're Italian, you got that one by birth. Okay, so I'm not talking about that one. I had 500 Italians in my church in St. Louis. Every one of them hot-tempered. So I'm not talking about that. If you're Hispanic, you're high-strung. I get that. We're not talking about temperament here. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about deep-seated anger that makes you want to hurt something or somebody or something that seethes inside of you. That's what anger really is, the emotion of anger. We're not talking about just flying off at the mouth and, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, I should have stopped myself ahead of time. I don't mean temper tantrums. I'm talking about real anger. The kind of stuff that ruins your life. The kind of stuff that makes you have more bad days than good days. Because you just can't seem to get over it. Where do these things come from? So here's the problem with guilt and anger. Guilt happens when we feel like we owe someone something. So guilt means I owe you. A lot of people have gone through divorce, did the best thing they could do to stop it, but divorce happened and now they feel guilty. Oh my goodness, I've robbed my kids from this. I owe them. So what do? We buy things, we give them things, and we think that if I give them things, because we always have this feeling of guilt that I've got to do something to make up for taking something from you. That's what guilt feels like. So guilt feels like I owe you, and anger feels like you owe me. You took something from me, and now I'm mad.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
I owe you, you owe me. Let's start with guilt. Guilt is I owe you. Psalm 38 says it this way in the NIV, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Again, don't raise your hand, but think about this. Have you ever had so much guilt that you just didn't even want to leave the house? You didn't want to, it made you feel almost depressed because you had so much guilt. Where's that coming from? Where does guilt come from? I've let someone down. I've hurt someone's feelings. Everything we do emotionally can almost be attributed to some type of theft. I took something from you, or you took something from me. And so it leaves us in this deficit of emotional debt, with a debt so big it's impossible to pay back. Let's say that you had to go through the awful atrocities of divorce. No one likes divorce. The Bible says God hates divorce. Absolutely, everybody should hate divorce, right? Sometimes it's the only option, but it's never an easy option. Even in the circumstances where it becomes necessary, it's just never an easy option because there's so many feelings out there. I wasn't there for this, I wasn't there for that, and Christmas looks different, and this looks different, and birthdays look different, and then the kids sometimes have this left out, why me, that kind of feeling. And so when you have to go through divorce, and that's just one example among many, you're always feeling this gnawing guilt inside of you. How can I pay them back? Have you ever noticed how we apologize? How do we start an apology? We say, I owe you an apology. Why do I owe you an apology? Because somewhere in my mind, I've taken something from you and I've got to pay you back. So I owe you. So guilt feels like I owe you. People that feel guilty handle their guilt in a number of ways. Number one, they'll buy you something. But I mean, you know, you can never buy enough to remove the guilt. Money just does not remove that kind of guilt. And you can buy and buy and buy and spend and spend and spend, and you never can buy enough to stop yourself from feeling guilty. Or some people just say, I will give you something. But how many of you know you can't give and give and give enough to stop that? So it's a debt that you really don't know how to repay. So how do I get there? The problem is you can't ever completely pay this debt. So nothing less than paying the debt is going to relieve the guilt. So what do? Everybody say, I'm stuck. So there we are, feeling guilty, can't do anything about it. How do you give people time back? How do you give somebody their 8-year-old life back? You can't give that back. How do I give somebody their family back? You can't give that back. How do I give somebody their childhood back? You can't give that back. So there is no reason that you need to live your life condemning yourself to a prison of guilt when it's impossible to repay it. No matter what you buy, how much money you spend, and how many times you say, I'm sorry, there is no way to give that back. So I find myself stuck. I owe you, therefore I cannot get rid of my guilt. Okay, anger. Enough of that one, or we'll all start feeling guilty. So I can't handle it. We can't talk anymore about that. So let's talk about something worse. Anger. Of all the emotions in the world, this one seems to be the rawest, the strongest, and the most destructive of all of them. Because when someone has a deep-seated anger, they have tendencies to destroy things. They have tendencies to really hurt things. I'm not talking about quick tempers and breaking the mirror or whatever, punching your fist to the wall. You know, that happens. Hopefully not at your house, but it does happen. But in the Bible, when the Bible talks about anger, do you know that 15 times when the Bible talks about anger, it talks about anger and fire together? Did you know that? Anger and fire. Now, fire can be a good thing if you like a good cup of hot tea or some coffee. Fire can be a good thing, but fire can also be very destructive. So how do we deal with this issue called anger? And what does anger really mean? Anger is there because someone took something from me. Now I'm mad. They owe me something. How dare you say that about me? How dare you take my season? How dare you take my name and slander it? How dare you? Has anybody in this room ever used that phrase, how dare you? Hopefully you never have to. But that phrase is used by people that feel robbed somehow, bankrupt, emotionally, maybe physically. But when you feel like something has been taken from you, there's this deep-seated anger that stays inside of you for a long time. Now, my wife and I have been married, actually, 2 weeks ago was 41 years. So, hey, we've been at this for a while, all right? Been at this for a while. But when we got married, you had to do something that you don't have to do anymore. You had to go get a blood test. Anybody remember the blood test? Only about 10 of you. I know where I stand tonight. There you go. Well, when you got married, you had to, I don't know why they made you do that, really, but you had to go get a blood test. I remember two things about Faith and I going to get a blood test. I remember she fainted. That's the first thing I remember. She passed out when they took her blood. And we had to, you know, it wasn't very long. And the other thing was when we were walking out of the car. Now, we're not married yet. I'm 20 years old when this happens, so it's been a while. We won't talk about how long, but it's been a while, a few minutes. And so I'm 20 years old. We're walking out of the hospital where we had to go get our blood test, and we're holding hands, and we're about to, you know, we're about to get our license in only a few days from getting married. And on the other end of the parking lot at that hospital was a man who had the arm of a 3-year-old little boy, and he had raised him off the ground, and he was wearing him out. And this kid was swinging. Something just came over me. I'm telling you what, I won't even talk about what I know was in there, but I know what was in there. I know why I did what I did. But I took out running like a maniac toward that man. He saw me coming. He was in a truck. He pushed that little boy in that truck. He got in and locked the door. And I'm about to beat the window off of that truck. He burns rubber getting out of there, because if I would have got a hold of him, only God knows. I'm glad we were near an emergency room, because only the Lord knows what I would have done. I was in a rage. And there's my redhead thinking, oh, Lord. Oh man, you think I want to get involved in this? I'll never forget walking back, and Faith said, what was that? She was scared to death, because I had a deep-seated anger inside of me that I had never dealt with before. And all of a sudden, that came out, and I was ready to beat that man to a pulp for abusing that child. Something came over me. Something I eventually had to deal with, or I would still be pulling people out of trucks to this day. I would still be going across. I did it again. I did it two more times before I ever dealt with it. My whole family had to leave a restaurant one time because I got irate the way someone was talking to a child and abusing a child in my presence. And I said, listen, that child cannot take care of themselves, but I'll take care of it for them. And boy, my wife grabbed the girls and left the restaurant. She said, oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Please, God, don't let him get arrested. He's a pastor. And I was. It just came out of me. And I realized at some point in time that if I did not deal with this, it's going to come out in a place that it didn't need to come out, or it was going to get worse. It's because I had an issue of the heart that I never wanted to talk about. I buried it. Maybe you've done that before. I didn't want to deal with it, so it was easier for me to bury it than deal with it. So I thought I was over it. I have a happy face, telling jokes, until it got triggered and then it all came out.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.